Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
A series called Internal Affairs. And I don't have time, obviously, to reiterate the first message, but it is very important. If you, at all possible, go on our website. You can download it for free. You can watch it on the website, the video. You can get a CD for a nominal charge and listen to it. But it really would be important. Last week, we talked about you can't fix what you can't see. And I kind of went through a process of how this whole message was kind of born out of a kind of an unlikely intervention in our life. How many of you know what an intervention is? You know, usually those are very intentional. This was an unintentional one. And we have four simple things that I believe in my heart to help us understand in this 4-week series. And the first one is this, is that we discover why we do what we do. And really, that's what we're going to focus on today. Why do you do what you do? Discovering what drives your behavior. Because if you don't understand that, fighting or winning that battle becomes very, very hopeless. Secondly, we want to learn, and this will be next, the next two will be next week, is how to become healthy in your inward life. Then also how to ensure that the internal mechanisms that govern the choices you make or the decisions that you make are sound and healthy. We'll talk about in the next week how to form right beliefs in your life, how that impacts your life. And then lastly, I really want to talk to you about how to remain hopeful while you fight through the process. If you've been a Christian any length of time, then you've had things in your life that you wish weren't there. And I've learned this, and it's the truth. Everybody has issues. And I love this statement because it's a true statement. Everybody has issues, and if you think you have no issues, that's your issue. Everybody has stuff they have to overcome in their life. If you've been a Christian any length of time, there are things that you've battled through, and you may have even become hopeless about. And I'm going to show you today that the very desire to live for God, the very hunger to want to do right, can end up being your undoing if you don't understand how the Scripture tells me where to live for God. We're going to learn today about two laws, and we'll get to them in the Scripture. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes you free from the law of sin and death. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit of depth today. But let me kind of reiterate, just to kind of give you, if you weren't here, or even if you were, just to kind of give you some sure footing for what we're talking about. Back 12, 13 years ago, I guess I have the dates wrong when I said it last week, but about 12, 13 years ago, a guy named Claude Robald came to the church. And he was consulting. He was going to help us put together a management process. The church was growing very quickly. It had far out surpassed my capacities, my understanding, my skill set. But it probably had done that week three when we were going. Okay, in the church, of course, we just celebrated our 20-year anniversary. Well, Claude came in and he was assessing what we do and just a lot of questionnaires and meetings. And so he began to meet first with Michelle and I, because Claude knew what anybody with any wisdom would know, that the organization will never be any healthier than the leader. Can I say this, that your home will never be any healthier than you are. Your marriage will never be any healthier than you are. Your parenting skills will never be any healthier than you are. And it's my hope that this is a church where you feel comfortable enough and safe enough in the love of God for you, in an environment where people aren't going to try to see through you, but to see you through, where you can let God in your life. And it's my hope in this 4-week series that as we had an unlikely, even an unintentional intervention, that you get one on purpose. And I shared with you some last week how in Michelle's life, when she was 8 years old, her dad and mother divorced. And that's difficult enough for a child. And whether we like it or not, children blame themselves for divorce. And that's, if you're going through a divorce or have gone through a divorce, you're going to want to make extra sure that you talk about that with your kids. And even when you do it, somehow internally, children make it about them, because at some point they made you angry, or they thought you were fighting about them, or maybe you were fighting about something they did or didn't do or whatever. And children extrapolate that to where, well, they divorced because of me. And many of you growing up in those environments know what that feels like. And yet it was worse for her. It's not just that her parents divorced. Her dad disappeared. He abandoned their family. He abandoned them financially. He abandoned them with his presence. And she went 10 years of her life with virtually no contact with her father. One day she's on his shoulders, daddy, little girl. The next day he's gone. Now, I don't care what you tell an 8-year-old. Internally, they began to believe, if I'm not good enough for my own father to stay in my life, then there's something innately wrong with me. So Michelle, as a very little girl, made inward decisions, inward vows. She built walls of protection that would ultimately become prisons for her, where she was never going to be disappointed like that again. So she would approach life from a very negative perspective, because if I don't expect anything good, nothing bad can happen to me. And so I talked to you some last week about how everything in life is positive, neutral, and negative. And Michelle's unhealthiness made everything positive, negative, everything neutral, negative, and everything negative, negative. So being married to someone like that, it was very obvious. And negativity is not hard to spot. It by definition, it's negative. And so it's unpleasant. She felt unpleasant living that way. She didn't want to live that way. So I assumed, because she was negative and I was a positive person, that I was the healthy one in the relationship. And so I'm meeting with Claude, and it wasn't like, it was a meeting to put down Michelle, but he was talking about our lives. And so at the end of it, I didn't understand, I couldn't see. You can't fix what you can't see. So he began to go through our lives and began to talk, and I will always be thankful for Claude and Jan Robault, because they made such a difference in our life. And I'll never forget when Claude looked at me and he said, John, do you know how unhealthy Michelle is on this side of the spectrum? I said, well, yeah, I do. He said, I want to help you understand, you are equally unhealthy, but right on the other side. You are so unhealthy that you distort reality. You make everything positive, positive, everything neutral, positive, and everything negative, positive. Jokingly, if the house is on fire, I said, hey, it's a weenie roast. You know, so I distorted reality. And I reformatted, I would reformat facts so that I didn't have to feel anything negative. As she embraced negativity, I embraced positivity, but both in a very unrealistic manner. And so here are two people married in two extremes of unhealthiness, trying to change the other into the other form of unhealthiness. That's conflict by definition. And at the end of the day, if she wins the battle, she has an unhealthy husband. And if I win the battle, I have an unhealthy wife. And it was, and we didn't know how to deal with it. I couldn't even see it. And I went into greater detail about that last week. I was more determined to be positive than I was even to be truthful. I wouldn't tell you the truth. I didn't want to make you feel badly. So, how many of you know lying is a bad thing? But do you really know? Who's the father of all lies? Satan is the father of all liars and all lies. Do you know that it's wrong to lie? Let me try this side. Do you know that it's wrong to lie? Okay. Well, what if, and I don't mean telling the truth, you go up to people and say, listen, so I want you to know your hair's ugly. Okay, that's just rude, all right? The Bible says speak the truth in love, all right? But I learned that I would tell you what you wanted to hear, and I have to tell you the truth. If Jesus himself was standing there, I would have not known I was lying. Because I was so determined to be positive that in my deception, I made the truth secondary. And so I would create expectations in people that were very unrealistic, and it wasn't their fault when they were disappointed. And so being positive without being truthful is deceptive, and ultimately it's destructive to relationships. I had learned that, and what I began to learn is that this external need for approval in my life caused me to value what others thought more than what my internal picture should look like. It caused me to live externally and not from my heart. It caused me to overlook what was important and to embrace what was superficial. Now, can you imagine someone like Michelle who embraces every detail under the sun? Because most of you women do that, and we love you for it with all of our hearts. Thank you. Listen, men, women are minesweepers. They feel things. They see things. By and large, not for every woman, but most women are going to see details. And most men don't care about any of them. We don't care. Michelle would start sentences like, "Honey, have you thought about..." And I interrupt her. "No." And so I found myself living in a way that was very unhealthy. But I want to talk to you today about when you see what's going on, how do you get out of it? How do you change lifelong habits? How do you do it? I remember when Michelle and I were traveling and we were speaking in churches. We would go out to eat after the service, and sometimes there'd be guest ministers visiting, and we'd be at a conference and a bunch of ministers would go out. And we'd be sitting with friends, and the conversation would go through the night. We'd get back to the hotel where we were or wherever we were staying, and Michelle would say to me, "You know, John, do you remember so and so that was at the table?" And I said, "Well, yeah, why?" She said, "You know, you spoke all night, you guys talked all night, you never included that man one time. You never looked at him, you know that guy was going through difficulty, and not one person at that table, including you, ever looked at him, never asked him a question, never included him. And I promise you right now, that man is back wherever he's staying, and he feels worse for being around you." Now, how could she feel that? Because she could feel everything into an extreme. That's why marrying your opposite is not always a bad thing. Now, we were opposites to extremes, but she sees things I don't see. I see things she didn't see. That's healthy. But I'd like to tell you today that it doesn't embarrass me, but it does. I look back at that and I think I'd love to go back and realize that I was so focused on myself, I couldn't see another person in the room. I missed the opportunity to live out of my heart. Because I don't want to live that way. I didn't want to live that way. I would tell her, "Michelle, I don't want to do that." But I didn't know why I was doing it. I didn't know why I did what I did. And I'm certain there were times people left my presence and they felt rejection even less than. But it's not because I wanted to diminish anybody. It's because I couldn't see them. I was so busy in my unhealthiness, so busy in my creating this world, that I couldn't see the reality sitting right in front of me. And I couldn't reflect Christ in my interaction with people appropriately. See, there's often a lot. One moment you can be living out of your heart. You can be living in a healthy, balanced way and living a godly life. But in the very next moment, you can go right on that other extreme. And you can be doing things, saying things. Listen, I've never met anybody who really wants to mess their life up. Now, there may be some people with mental illness or psychological issues that may be the case, but that's a rare exception. But for most people that are married, they don't want a bad marriage. They don't want to make their wife angry every day. They don't want to make their husband angry all the time. They don't want to fail the expectations of the person they promised to love, but we do it over and over and over, and we don't know why we do it. We don't know where our behavior comes from. And so we make a horrible choice of trying to change our behavior in a way that will actually imprison us. Learn this about behavior. Behavior is dictated in my life by what I believe, not by what I want. Not by what I wish for. Not by what I hope for. Not by my intentions. Behavior is driven by belief. The question is, what do you believe? And then and this is so important, next week, I'm going to talk to you from God's Word. It's how to form right beliefs. You see, the Bible calls, there's two laws we're going to look at today in Scripture in a moment. The law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me show you how most of us try to change our behavior. And this design years ago when I began to understand these things came up in my heart. And our graphics department made it much nicer than the one I have in my notes. But if you'll take a look at this. Most of us, in our behavior, here's how we try to change it. We pour all of our energy into our behavior. Now, how many of you have limited resource of energy? All right, now, there's something wrong. When I get to heaven, I do want to ask God, why do you give four-year-olds energy? And the older you get, the less you have. I saw two little ones in the hall this morning, and these precious little boys. And their mom was kind of trying to trace them down. It's the most wonderful thing to watch when your kids are grown. Because it's so precious. But when you're the one chasing, it doesn't feel precious. And you can just see them. They go... And they're going to do that until they just go... And they fall asleep. And ever you could pick up a child by their toes and drag them up the stairs. You ever see it? You wake up, a child will be asleep and they'll be hanging off the bed and they won't wake up. Why God gave energy to children, and I don't know. That's they should have the energy of a 50-year-old. Wouldn't it make parenting more easy? But you only have limited energy. Here's where the hopelessness comes in. We take all of our energy and we try to change our behavior. And we do it in the name of Jesus sometimes. I promise you, God, I'll never do that again. And I will never do that again. And you white knuckle it. And I'm going to make a decision. And then we really get spiritual and we're going to make a quality decision. That just means you're going to use more energy. I know what I'll do. I'm going to have a prayer life. Is it good to have a prayer life? Absolutely. My spiritual father used to say this. I don't pray very much long periods of time, but I also don't go very long times without praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Have a constant fellowship with God. But you'll notice when people want to get right with God, they usually do some kind of crazy, unsustainable spiritual gymnastic. I'm going to get up and pray every morning. Now, for it to be truly the will of God, for it to truly be a powerful thing in your life, you have to get up at an ungodly hour to do it. You have to get up at 4 a.m. so that God really knows you love Him. 4 a.m. was made for sleep. That's why it's called the middle of the night. But in other words, what we think is that for me to really show God I love Him, I've got to do things that are unsustainable. I'll fast, and it's a good... Sure, we should fast and pray. That's fine. But when you think these gymnastics that you do are going to change your behavior, you're going to find yourself very disappointed. It's paramount to taking a squirt gun and trying to put out a bonfire. And yet God has given us a way to lay an axe to the root of our behavior. And that's the next design. The next slide will show you what that looks like. You have sufficient energy to change your beliefs. And when you change what you believe, it changes your behavior. That's the way Christians were called to live. This process of using your energy to form beliefs in your life. And when those beliefs govern your heart, they will change your behavior. And it is a work of the power and the grace of God. And it's my hope before we leave today that is so clear to you that you know how to walk away from this room today embracing this process. And then next weekend, we're going to spend time showing you how to form those beliefs in the Word of God and what that looks like. This is very important. This is life-changing stuff. It's why we do Growth Track. It's why we do 101, 201, 301, and 401. And this is the first Sunday of the month, so it is 101. 101, if you're a guest of Victory, here's all it is. Every first Sunday of every month, we have what we call 101. You show up here. We start at 6. The doors open about 5:45. Come on, and we'll have some pizza for you and just hang out a little bit. And Michelle and I come and we share with you the mission of this church. It's a kick the tires event. You find out, is this a church for me? And there's no commitment in coming. Just come and listen. Now, you can become a member tonight if you choose to, but you don't have to. It's so you can understand our mission. You can understand how we operate as a church, what we offer, what we're about. It's a really important thing to do. And then 201 is when you learn the essentials of the faith. 301 is when you discover your gifts. 401 is when you find what ministry you can serve in and become a part of the dream team. So if you've not yet come to 101, this would be the night to come. Don't wait. Don't pray. Use your energy to affect this process. And this church is designed to help you change what you believe, not to change your behavior. It's why most people expect pastors to be condemning. It's why most people see Christians as condemning. Because we feel that if we can make you feel badly enough, then it will change the way you live. So I've had years of time, I mean, hundreds of people through the years come up to me and say, you know, Pastor John, look, I enjoy coming to church at Victory, but can I ask you something really? It would help me if you would just preach against sin more. I said, well, okay, well, which one do you want me to start with? Which one are you struggling with? Well, not my sins. So tell me, what are you messing? Where are you messing up? I'll put you up here. We'll say, here's Bob. Bob likes to look at women with no clothes on. You don't think men deal with that? Oh, this is church. We should lie. Okay, any men in the room that aren't afraid of their wives? Listen, you deny that reality in a man's life, that'll mess up a man more than anything. Don't lie to yourself. So Bob comes and says, preach against sin. Bob says, you know, I try to look. I shouldn't be. See women, I just kind of whoosh, shazam, looky there. But Bob's got a problem. Bob, you worthless piece of dirt. Jesus said, gouge your eyeballs out if they bother you. To sin, pluck them out. And what we got here, we got a plucking out your eyeballs morning for Bob. In the name of Jesus, Bob's going to pluck his eyeballs out for all of us. Let's give Bob a hand as he plucks his eyeballs out. No. Doesn't help Bob at all, does it? What Bob's saying is there a way for you to make me feel badly enough about what I do that I won't do it anymore? No. But there's not a way to do that. I'll show you in the Scripture what it produces. That's why we have small groups. It's why when you're in a small group, oh, is it important? And many of them are kind of winding down the first trimester. The next trimester begins in February of next year. I want to encourage you, get in a small group. And there are many of you that should be leading a small group in the next term. The directory comes out the 6th of January of next year. So you have time. You want to lead a small group. Connect, call the office. Come to the 401 class. Call and say, I want to get involved in small groups. We'll help you start one. And you get you in the directory. These are awesome ways for you to affect what you believe. It's why we do what we do here as a church. And yet most people use their energy in a manner that isn't producing lasting results in their life. And listen, but we have great intentions. I'm not denying that people want to do the right thing. But let me talk to you about spiritual laws and natural laws just for a moment. And then we're going to get in the Scripture. My hope is that you leave here armed with an understanding of how you can live for God in everyday life. See, natural laws work the same everywhere. Michelle and I have lived in Africa. We've spent time in Southern Africa, Central Africa. And I've learned something, no matter where I'm at on the planet, the law of gravity works. How many of you know gravity is a constant? How many of you are still in your seats? No one's floating. Gravity's working. Yet, planes can fly. Because gravity is a constant, there is another law called the law of thrust and lift that is based on the constant of the law of gravity that enables a plane to fly. Now, I remember the first time I flew overseas on one of those big monster Airbus things. You know, when you fly domestically, it takes about 45, 50 seconds from when they start on the runway to when you lift off. At least in my mind, I'll count it out. It feels like about a minute or so and you're up in the air. But I remember the first time I got on one of those. It seems like they put 4 million people on that plane. It's huge. And when it takes off, you know, when you get in one of the little planes, it takes off and kind of, woo, you feel it. The big one takes off and just goes, woo. It can barely move. And you're thinking, oh, Jesus, help us. And it feels like you're on the runway long enough, you're going, I think we're going to drive to Africa. And you start thinking, Jesus, I don't want to meet you quite yet. I love you, Lord. Get this monster off the... But you know how convinced, how solid the laws of gravity, the laws of thrust and lift are? Is that they put that big old plane on a runway and the pilot, he doesn't have a death wish. He sits there calmly knowing that he's running out of space. And if it doesn't, if that law changes, it's a bad day for the pilot. It's a bad day for you if you're in the plane. But those laws are constant. And so we depend upon natural law because it is what it is. A law is a constant. Well, there are spiritual laws that are every bit as constant, that are every bit as, in fact, they are more dependable. I can tell you that the law of gravity will change on planet Earth on a certain day. Because the Bible says there will come a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I imagine when there's a new earth, maybe the dynamics of gravity might change, which might make us all feel lighter. Okay, well, anyway, look, I would weigh less on the moon, just so you know, because of the gravitational pull. So on the moon, I'm in awesome shape, just so you know. It's a good thing. But anyway, there are spiritual laws and there are natural laws. Let me talk to you about two spiritual laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a law. And the Bible said there is a law called sin and death. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a law called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, what's that mean, in Christ Jesus? How many of you have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Raise your hand up. All right. You, according to the Scripture, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, are now in Christ Jesus. You are born of God. You are in Him. In Him you live and move and have your being. You find your identity in Him. So there is a law of the Spirit of life for those who are in Christ Jesus that makes you free from the law of sin and death. Now, just prior to Romans 8 is Romans 7. Now, that's a lot of wisdom right there, don't you think? And Paul actually defines the law of sin and death in Romans 7. And boy, haven't we all felt this. I'm going to read Romans 7, verse 14 and 15, verse 21, 22, and verse 24 and 25. So listen to this. You ever felt this way? Paul said this. We know that the law of God, is spiritual. But I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, that I do. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight to do God's law. Verse 24, what a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And he gives you the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the next thing he said, and now there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul in Romans 7 is showing you the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to remember who we're talking about here. The Apostle Paul, according to his testimony, was taken by revelation into the very heavens, the third heaven. The Bible said where the throne of God is. He said, I don't even know if I was in my body or out of my body. I can't tell you. He said, but I saw things and I heard things that are unspeakable. Now, I've never been to heaven. I've never seen Jesus in visitation. Jesus never sat down and taught me and gave me the commission to write Scripture. Now, how many of you think if anybody's going to get this thing whipped, it ought to be the guy that had that experience? How many of you think at least Paul had a better shot? I mean, this guy, Jesus talked to him. Taught him. And yet Paul came up with this after he tried to live for God. I'm a wretched man. Because every time I try to do something good, evil is present with me. And Paul said, you know what I found out? When I try to do the right thing, I end up doing the thing I hate. You ever felt that way? That's exactly what Paul said. He said, but I also have learned this. That in my inner man, there is a delight to do the right thing. But I find that when I shoot for the right thing, the wrong thing's always present with me. And he said, it's so frustrating, I go, I'm a wretched man. You ever felt like a wretched person? You ever felt like I try to do the right thing, I end up in the wrong thing? And he said, there's another law working against me. He said, but now that you're in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation to you. That you don't have to walk anymore after the flesh or after the law of sin and death, but after the Spirit, that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Let's go back up to those diagrams and talk about it. Let me show you the law of sin and death. To the left, on the screen, there we go. That was cool. I just went like that and it popped up. That Shazam. Can we make it go away? Oh, I'm sorry, Steve Moore. Okay, there, put it back. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. The one to the left, pouring your energy into your behavior, that's the law of sin and death. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to do better. Okay, anybody married? Don't be nervous. Are you married? Anybody ever said this in your marriage? I promise I'll change that. Okay, don't be chicken. Come on. We know you've done it. How many of you lied? Now, in really serious situations, I promise I'm going to change. What's the spouse typically say? You said that 100 times. It's the law of sin and death. You don't know how to change. Or you would have changed by now. I mean, there's things Michelle's been asking me about for 25 years. And it's funny, the older we get, they actually become... I don't know if they're much endearing to her, but her stuff's become endearing to me. But maybe she's not as crazy as I am. But after 25 years, she'll be telling me something, and it's just some little idiosyncrasy, maybe a big idiosyncrasy. But anyway, I'll say to her, baby, it's been 25 years. Have you not kind of figured out, that's who I be? Shazam. She said, yes, it's just so pleasant. Here's the deal. The law of sin and death is when you take all of your energy and you pour it into your behavior. And here's what it leaves you with. Oh, wretched man that I am. I can't win this battle. Here's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You take all of your energy and you pour it in to your belief system. You take the, and we're going to talk, oh man, next week how to do this. The power, the life-changing power of the Word of God. And you affect what you believe with it. And it changes your belief system. And the power of the Word of God from the heart of a believer who can speak the Word of God from their mouth will change anything in your life. It will change anything in your life. In fact, I'm going to show you here in a moment in Romans 8 how he said it will happen. So you can have confidence that God himself will show up in this other law working in your members, in your body, this body of death. What's he mean, body of death? How many of you know this body's death doomed? It doesn't get to live on earth forever. And he says his body's dying and it's ever present trying to drag you down with it. Look at Romans 8 verse 5. He said, and for those who live according to the flesh, or we could say it this way, according to the law of sin and death, will set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, will set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now listen to this. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, what's that mean? That I'm going to use my physical, fleshly strength to change my spiritual life. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded, he said, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, he just finished talking about this conflict in his life. And he said how it makes me feel wretched. He said, I'm going to show you how walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can set you free from that other law. Because that other law will make you wish you were dead or you'll be half dead while you live. But this other one that supersedes it, he said, will cause you to live. Now listen, in life and in peace. When a plane flies, the law of gravity does not cease to exist. And guys, listen to me. As a Christian, when you begin to function in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death doesn't go away. You have just superseded it with a higher law. And what Paul is saying, to the degree you will learn to live out of your inward man, to the degree you will let your inward man dominate your life, to the degree you will let your inward man and the beliefs of your inward man be shaped by the Word of God, is to the degree you will live in life and peace, because that law, even though it's ever present with you, even though you're still living in a body of death, you'll be able to fly above it. You'll be able to go on the runway, so to speak, and know that you're going to have liftoff. that in the troubled spot of your marriage, you know that you're going to have a liftoff. Then in the troubled spot of your behavior, you're going to have a liftoff. Then in the troubled spot of maybe your sexuality, you're going to have a liftoff. You know how many people are in this room today that are struggling in their sexuality? Heterosexually, homosexually, whatever area of life. And oh, how people have fought to change those things. And they just give up. They're just going to crash and burn. But listen, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can set you free from the law of sin and death. That's why the Bible says there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who are in this process. That's why I say you come as you are to this church. I don't care what you're struggling with. And we're not going to change the Scripture and let people come in and say, well, God's Word here doesn't matter. That's not what we're talking about. But if you want to live for God, I don't care what your struggle is, what your battle is, we will fight life through with you. We won't change the Bible for you. We can't. We can't change it for me. But we'll fight life through with you. Ultimately, I want to bring you to a place to where, because if you set your attention on the unwinnable battle that Paul described in Romans 7, you're going to die. You're going to wish you were dead. But if you set your attention to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets you free from the law of sin and death, you're going to be able to walk in life and peace. How many times do Christians just want to give up because they just can't do it anymore? I've tried to overcome that in my life. And all you're really doing in your willfulness, your desire to serve God, all you've really done, now think of it, is trap yourself and walk inside of the law of sin and death. And Paul, and what's it end up making you feel like? A wretched person. But he said in Romans 8:11, now listen to this and we'll close today. This is in the context of being free from the law of sin and death. He said, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That's an if. Question. How many of you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Then according to the Scripture, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So say it out loud. This verse is talking about me. Now listen. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The word give life means animate. Now, when I was a kid, I loved cartoons. Now, no offense to the cartoons today, but they're horrible. I don't even know how kids watch them. They're so bad. But I mean, we were kids. The cartoons we watch as kids, you can watch them as a 50-year-old or an 80-year-old, and they're still fun to watch. I mean, Bugs Bunny, I got to tell you, when I found out, and I knew really he wasn't real, but somehow in my heart, when I realized Bugs Bunny was not real, I broke my heart. I like Bugs Bunny. I liked Elmer Fudd. A hunting we will go, a hunting we will go. I hold a yeah, we owe a hunting we will go. I love Elmer Fudd. I love Yosemite Sam. I love Foghorn Leghorn. Cartoon Network, where are you? They're not real, but they're animated. To where they almost seem real. I mean, I'd like to spend it. I just like a weekend with Bugs. He was fun. Right? Come on. What he's saying here is that you're in a death-doomed body. But like a cartoon is dead. But it's animated to life. He said, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. Because he said, He Himself who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your death-doomed body, empowering you to live for God. And the very power of God can take you above any habit that the law of sin and death brought you to. Can take you above generations of marital stupidity. There's some of us in this room, you're struggling through marriage issues. And you don't know why. It's because there hasn't been a good marriage in your family in generations. You've never seen one. You've never smelled one. You've never even been around one. You can't even go on television and find one because television's full of crazy people. You've got to watch Leave It to Beaver to find one. And you just, why am I struggling? You've never, ever, ever had the Spirit of God through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus take you above that belief system. Take you above what you think a husband is or isn't, a wife is or isn't. How to parent. How to deal with your finances. How to deal with your emotions. How do you deal? How do you ever heal from being abandoned at 8 years old? Let me tell you, all the king's horses and all the king's men ain't putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. That doesn't get fixed without God. And there are people in this room, and it may not be as traumatic as what Michelle went through. He said, well, how did you get the way you are? I can look at some stuff in my family and try to figure it out, but really, to tell you the truth, sometimes we're just flawed people. And we don't have to go on Oprah and blame any parent. Sometimes parents are to blame, but sometimes it's just life. It doesn't matter how you got there. I'll tell you why, you're in a body of death. And you were raised by people who lived in a body of death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can make you free from the law of sin and death. And He can take you places you never dreamed of. He can put things back together that no one can fix. He can do things in your world. And next week, that's why I want to talk about how to form beliefs. The following week, how to find hope in this. To where you know. I want you at the end of the series to say, you know what? I can live this way. I can be the kind of person God called me to be. I don't have to live this halfway, half-baked Christian life in one day, out the next. I can walk with God. And let me tell you, on the other side of your decisions to walk with a living God are children and grandchildren and generations, if Jesus tarries His coming, who will know the benefit of somebody who said, no longer will my family tree live on the side of the law of sin and death. But we are going to let by the power of the Spirit of God, not our own strength, but by the greater one who lives in us, that He Himself will quicken this death-doomed body. He Himself will empower me and strengthen me and infuse His ability in me to live for Him, to walk with Him, to be an overcomer. And nothing is greater than your God. And He wants to do that in your everyday life. And He wants to show up in your everyday life, in my everyday life. And what I don't want to do in this church and what we will never do is pretend. Michelle and I, the day this church started, we said we are going to just tell the truth about our lives the best we know how. Because some of the greatest dangers when you come to church is this kind of church fantasy life gets created. Oh, everything's perfect in their life. No one has a perfect life. Let me tell you, we have a good God. And let me close with this statement of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, listen to me, now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. While you fight this battle, He said, God's not condemning you. He's working in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And He has a plan for your life. You were not made for ordinary. You were made for greatness. And He's got something incredible that He has on the other side of your life in Him. And let me tell you, there's a whole bunch of people around you. They're going to get the overflow of your decisions as well. It's an incredible thing to live for God. It's an incredible thing. It is not a burden. It is a gift. Amen? Let's pray together. Praise God forevermore. It's good to serve God. Father, I thank You for Your great grace that's upon every heart today. Lord, I know there are so many people in this room by sheer percentages. Many that have suffered what Michelle went through, plus more. Who their lives have been shaped and tattered and torn. And they're trying to walk with You, but they end up tearing up more than they actually can fix. Lord, help us all to walk in the power of the Spirit of life that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Help us to understand it's You that will lift us above the law of sin and death. It is You that will give life to our mortal bodies by the Spirit of God that dwells in us. It's You that is at work to both do the good will of Your pleasure in our life. Thank You for that. So I pray that not one person under the sound of my voice will leave this place discouraged. That not one person will leave this place feeling like they can't make it. Feeling like You're against them, Lord. You're for them. You love them. You have a plan for their life. And You will take them places they never dreamed possible. And I pray Your blessing and favor on every life in this room. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life. If you drew your final breath,
and died today, you don't know where you'd spend your forever. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you, right where you're at in your seat. Listen to me. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll walk with you through fire. He loves you. But I want to encourage you to know that you don't go to heaven because you're a good person. Jesus said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the only way to have eternal life is by receiving the one who died in your place, by making Christ the Lord of your life. Because no church can make you a Christian. No church can make you right with God. No pastor, no priest, no sacrament of any church. There is salvation in no church. And that includes this one. Any sacrament in this church and any pastor in this church. Only by accepting Christ. So the question that is before us today, what will you do with a Savior, not religion? Jesus didn't die to give you religion. He died to give you life and life abundance. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. And I want to accept Him in my life. I want to receive Him to be the Lord of my life. I want to pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray a prayer out loud and together with you. Jesus will come into your heart. And dear one, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Oh, how good God is. And I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just simply going to pray a prayer with you right where you're seated. We'll pray it out loud, the whole congregation together with you. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you simply raise your hand right now and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and we'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Hands are everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, thank you, sir. God bless you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me as well. Just lift your hand if you've not yet done so, and I'll pray for you also. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you. What an awesome thing to walk with a God that loves you. If you raised your hand or should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Awesome. Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.